King David is one of many people's favorite characters in the Bible. What I love about King David, I was enamored with King David from the time I became a Christian. He is the only man in Scripture that is called a man after God's own heart. It doesn't mean others weren't men or women after God's own heart, but David is distinct for having that moniker, and David had such a passion for God. He had such a close relationship with God, and something for us to pursue and to model, say, I want to be, and I've prayed that for a long time, Lord, help me to be a man after your own heart. Well, I'm holding in my hands a book by Kenza Haddock. Kenza Haddock is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and an accredited clinical trauma specialist with expertise in treating complex mental health conditions through clinical and biblical methods. She is a former Muslim who came to Christ a number of years ago, and she's written this book. She's written several books, but this is her latest book. It's called Secure, How to Have a Healthy Attachment to God. Kenza, I guess we could say how to be a person after God's own heart and have that kind of close relationship where his loving kindness is better than life. But I want to welcome you to the program today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. And I love that passage that you shared.
Yeah, isn't it great? Okay, so go ahead.
At the heart of it, absolutely.
So I was reading your book, and it's a great book. I like it. I like these counseling type books that aren't, 500 pages, because it's something you can put in somebody's hands that can really help them, and it's very readable. It's not going to take me 10 hours to read this, but it'll really help me. So I want to congratulate you for putting this in print.
Thank you so much. Yes, I had someone say, hey, you can put it in your purse. It's small enough where you can, for a woman, obviously, they can put it in their purse.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, true.
Okay, so the verse that kept, one of my favorite verses, Kenza, is Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He's a safe place, and you can share everything with God because he does love us with an everlasting love. So just to get into your background as we talk about this important subject, you grew up Muslim.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, I grew up at the heart of having an unhealthy attachment with God, because as a Muslim, I grew up with a distorted perspective of who God is. I grew up believing that I could earn salvation as a Muslim. I grew up believing that Christians were just a bunch of misled people, because, and I believed that wholeheartedly. I believed that I could earn salvation through works, through satisfying five pillars of Islam. And that is, if I prayed enough, if I fasted enough, if I gave enough money to Islamic missions, if I went to Mecca, and one of the Islamic pillars is essentially it denies the deity of Christ. Before I went to bed, I would say that Allah doesn't have a son. Right before I went to bed. And so essentially I was pronouncing a curse on my life, and God in his mercy he just plucked me out of there. But before that, I struggled with so much anxiety and so much depression, and being that I'm just the way I am wired, when you give me a task, I try to accomplish it as best I can. And so I got to a point where I felt like I could not earn my salvation. I felt like I was taking three steps forward, getting knocked back 10 steps, because there was this sinful nature that was at work in me, like Paul talks about in Romans 7.
Yeah.
But there was, it's our willpower can't overcome it on our own. And so I was just struggling so much, and there was trauma happening in my home as well. And so the Lord God was sending me dreams, a series of dreams, and I just was not catching on during that time. There was a dream I had where I would fall asleep, and at 3 a.m. around that time, I would have a dream of the phone ringing, you know, those 80s phones, not like phones we have now. And someone would say, Kenza, your father is calling you. And I'd wake up. And literally, like the next night, it would happen. The next night, it would happen. And I just wasn't catching on because in Islam, you don't see God as father. That's blasphemy. And so one night, I had a dream that shattered. I mean, it wrecked my whole perspective. And the dream was, it was the end times, and I looked out of the window in my dream and I saw the sky open and I saw a man in a white robe descending from heaven. And that man was Jesus. In my spirit, I just knew that man was Jesus and his arms wide open. And there was this peace about him that I had never felt in my whole entire life. I mean, anxiety was my norm. And so there was something about him. And as he was coming down, I woke up and I wish I could tell you I woke up, gave my life to Jesus and everything was great. But no, that wasn't the case. There was still like an 8 to 10 month period of struggling and wrestling before I made the decision to give my life to him.
Well, Kenza, we're hearing more and more stories similar to that, where Muslims are having dreams about Jesus, and that kind of opens them up to, okay, maybe Jesus, maybe what I've been taught about Jesus is not true, because Jesus is in Islam. He's just obviously not the Son of God, but Islam views him as a prophet, secondary to Muhammad, I'm assuming.
Yes. So Islam was based on, I mean, it was created to oppose Christianity because 600 years after the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this angel appeared to Muhammad in a cave and said, "Hey, by the way, no, Jesus wasn't crucified. This is what happened, and I have a new revelation to give you, and you need to give it to all these people." And it was a false revelation. It was a false message that now has become, the second largest religion in the world. He basically said, "No, people are not free. They need to work for their salvation." And so, yeah.
That's really, you've heard the illustration that there are really just two religions in the world. One is spelled do, D-O, the other is spelled done. And Islam, Christianity that goes off the rails and just becomes a works-based theology. I have a new book coming out, and that's one of the chapters of my book is called The World's Most Believed Lie. And the most believed lie is that you earn your salvation. And you can't. So I'm interested, Kenza, in how, so you have this dream. How old are you when you have that?
I was 24 years old. I was 20, wait a minute. No, I was 23. And so at 24, I came to know the Lord.
Okay, and you're
Yeah.
single. Not married at that
So,
age.
right. Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
You're living in the States or you're living in Morocco?
no, I'm living in the States. Yeah.
You're from Morocco, isn't that right?
Yes, we moved. So my family and I moved when I was 12 years old. To the States, and we moved to Virginia. And for me to come to know the Lord, I knew that it was a big deal. I knew it wasn't going to be celebrated by lunch at Cracker Barrel. And so,
No.
I mean, even the car I drove at the time, that this is how close-knit the family was that I lived in. The car I drove was not even in my name. It was in my family's name. And so, given my life to Jesus, I had to like just leave my car in a parking lot and go get in another car so that I can start my life from scratch. Autonomy, I'll tell you this, autonomy and independence and freedom is very scary to someone who's never been free. It really
Yes.
is. But thank the Lord, he is a good father and he knows how to father us. He knows how he wired us. And yeah, I mean, it took a little bit of time for me to. I mean, I dove into New Age during that 8 to 10 months. I dove into astrology. I mean, everything possible to see if there was any other way but Christianity, and there wasn't because I knew Christianity meant I would have to sever ties with family and everyone. And so I moved to South Carolina, and I severed ties with family, and started my life from scratch, and the Lord has been faithful.
Wow. Okay, so how many in your family? How many brothers and sisters?
Four other siblings, and I'm the youngest.
So what's that like today? Fast forward to today.
It's been I'm coming up on 12 years. So they believe in converting the person back because they don't believe in losing someone to the faith. They believe that puts their everlasting life in jeopardy. And so, yeah, I mean, they have come after my husband and I. So I got married after I gave my life to Jesus. And they've come after us several times. And the Lord has been faithful every time. I remember the first time they came after us, they just showed up out of nowhere and they tried to open doors and windows, like the back of our windows. I mean, imagine like, seeing your windowsill, like trying to unlock and open from the outside. And it was very scary. It was. And what's interesting is because I was so new in my faith when the first time that happened, the first thought that came to mind, because my mind was still getting renewed here, it was, what did I do wrong for God to be mad at me for him to allow this to happen? I didn't see it as this is persecution for your faith. And so over time, I learned that, hey, you know what? This is going to happen. And I'm glad the Lord allowed for it to happen. Sometimes we don't enjoy being in the lion's den per se, but honestly, how do we experience the power of God and the sovereignty of God if we're not placed in those places? Because I was right there in the house. They could have gotten in and they were not able to. The Lord protected us. Every time they've shown up, they've even posed as patients in my practice and they somehow just missed me. We just missed each other.
Are they coming? We have about a minute before the break. Are they coming to hurt you or to abduct you or what?
Yes. So their faith is teaching them, because I know what the Quran says. It says if you lose someone to the faith, you have to go bring them back amicably, and if they don't come back, then you have to use force up to death, or else, because I'm considered an infidel. And so they're just doing what they believe is they have to
Right, the
do.
right thing to
They have to
do.
put their God above me.
We're talking to Kenza Haddock. She's a licensed professional counselor. She's the author of the brand new book, Secure, How to Have a Healthy Attachment to God. And we're finding out about her background, how she came to Christ from Islam. Fascinating testimony, and you don't want to miss the rest of it. So you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand. This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to Kenza Haddock. Kenza is a licensed professional counselor, and she is the author of the brand new book, Secure, How to Have a Healthy Attachment to God. Such a great book. It's a short read, but it's a powerful read, and it's very, very helpful because God doesn't want us to have a distant relationship with Him. He wants us to have a close relationship with Him. Kenza, I think about, as I was reading your book, I was thinking about Enoch and how Enoch walked with God, and he walked with God for 300 years. And he had such a close relationship with God that he was not, for God took him. And that he obtained the testimony, it says in Hebrews 11, that he pleased God. And I thought, wow, what, you know, that's something that speaks to all of our hearts as believers. We want to please God, and we want to have a healthy attachment to him. So you, growing up Muslim, you are taught lies. The relationship between a Muslim and Allah is very distant. You can't get close to God. As one Muslim told me, he said, there is no love in Islam. It's all obedience. It's submission. That's what Islam means, submission. And it's a very fear-based, it's awful. I mean, the devil's fingerprints, I don't mean to be insulting, but the devil's fingerprints are just all over that religion. It is so satanic. So coming out of that, you have to reprogram so much of your mind. How did you go about doing that?
You know, and I'm glad you asked this question. I think a lot of times we despise solitude. We despise when God, like, you know, just puts us in that state of obscurity, like he takes us away. And that's what happened to me. I mean, my allegiance, my full allegiance in my whole life was to my family. And all of a sudden now, I don't have them because my identity was tied to them. They were me and I was them. I didn't know where I ended and where they began. And so now I'm in South Carolina and I'm right there by myself and I'm trying to figure life out on my own and just understand what it means that God is my father. And it took years for me to deprogram. It took unlearning what I believed about God first and understanding where I was. So I needed to be real. You know, when Jesus met, for example, the woman at the well, he called out her, you know, where she was. Whenever angels even meet people, they say, fear not, because they understand where they are. So I needed to call out where I was. And it was very hard for me, not that God didn't know, but I needed to just write down and be real about the beliefs I had about God. I believed that God was unstable. I believed that God was mean and distant and angry. I saw him as like a spiritual Pharaoh because it was very hard for me to differentiate between Allah and God because Islam mixes up so many of the the Old Testament stories. It's not like converting from Buddhism to Christianity. Right. It's very difficult. And so one thing that helped me so much, Pastor Jeff, is looking up God's names and literally digging into what each one of God's names meant and standing on the truth of God's character. And the Lord allowed me to be in situations in my life where I needed to stand on the truth of God's character and know that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, you know, and just understanding that. And I needed to memorize Bible verses because as a Muslim, I memorized a lot of the Quran verses because that was required. And so the process of renewing my mind was memorizing Bible verses and developing that healthy attachment with God it took years. It's not like a snapping a finger and it happens.
Kenza, how did you, I'm assuming you had some Christian friends, you had a church, you had someone or some ones that were helping you, coming alongside to help you in the journey. When you actually surrendered your life to Christ, was there a person or two that was really pouring into you and sharing with you?
So the Lord provided a Philip, you know, for me in the beginning, because I didn't know how to get saved. I moved to South Carolina and salvation by grace was still incomprehensible for me. And so I called my friend who was actually, been pouring into me for years prior to this, but never I knew he was a believer, but he had never tried to, tell me, no, you're living life wrong. You need to become a Christian. I just knew he was a Christian. And I knew how he lived his life. So when I had the dream about Jesus and I moved, I called him and I said, hey, I had this dream about Jesus. So I don't know what to do next. And he said, I was, Pastor Jeff, I was literally in a parking lot on the phone because my phone didn't have reception. Well, so I'm walking in a parking lot and he opens his Bible on the phone with me and he says, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. Right then and there, I give my life to Jesus. And he said, listen, get a Bible that you can understand. The Lord provided a person that I was working with then. He was out on, that man was out on parole. And that man bought me a Bible because he knew I was a new believer. So the Lord brought different people, not one person, not, it's like he brought one person who bought me the Bible and that was his assignment. And he brought this woman who invited me to church and that was her assignment. And it's like he brought different people and it's really amazing how when we put our full trust in God, because I was at the mercy of God. I didn't know anything about anything. I mean, I had just left like my comfort zone. And he was just, I mean, he even provided a woman who let me stay with her in her place so that I can just, until I got on my feet. I mean, it was incredible.
How old were
I
you
met
when
her at
you
church.
moved from Morocco to South Carolina?
I was 12.
12. Okay. So, go
Or I'm
ahead.
sorry, to Virginia, I was 12, yes.
Okay. And then you become a Christian when you're 24. Is that
Yes.
right? Okay. And then when you become a Christian, you leave, or did you leave your family before you became a Christian as you were on a journey?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And that was okay, because family is very important in Scripture. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. How did you wrestle through that when your family's not safe now, but you're still to honor them? How do you work through that?
And that's a great question. So I've had to understand that, sometimes coming to Christ means and elevating Christ above family because he put a new system. He put forth a new system of what family means. And it's not that I'm dishonoring them. Sometimes, he said he came to, I believe it was as a sword. Sometimes he'll, him being in our lives can bring division. And so if I have to choose between him and my entire family, I have to choose him and just trust that's how it's going to go. And so it was very difficult from an emotional standpoint. But the reality is, looking back, I mean, I was just existing. I was not living. And my allegiance is not supposed to be to anyone but him because my purpose is tied to him, my identity is tied to him. And so it was difficult because it's one thing to give your life to Jesus and then your family's right there supporting you. It's another when that means they're now going to come after you.
Yeah, that's so hard, especially for a girl, because a girl's going to be close to mom. And so Kenza, do you have children?
Yes, I do.
How
I
many
have
kids?
two.
Two. How old are your kids?
Almost 8 and 5.
Okay. So, like, for your wedding, family's not there, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
The joys of your kids, you can't share any of that with your mom and dad or your siblings. That just makes my heart hurt for you.
Scripture says the suffering of this present time can't be compared to the joy that awaits us, right? And just honestly, like I truly believe that over the last 12 years, yes, it was difficult in the beginning. Like when my son was graduating K-5, for example, I want the grandparents to be there. At the same time, I do believe that God does fill those pockets in our hearts because he plans on using us in different ways. And so, yeah, that's part of his call on my life. And
yeah,
I'm completely okay with that.
Okay, so when you got married, you married an American?
Yes.
Okay, so different background for him growing up. He grew up in a Christian home?
Yes, and he went to a Christian school, yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, this book is really, although it's not written as autobiography, it's got to be a lot of your own struggles and journeys to find that closeness with God.
Absolutely. You know what's interesting? So maybe a couple months after I gave my life to Jesus, I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time, because obviously we don't have the Holy Spirit in us before we give our lives to Jesus. And so I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time, and I'm like, I feel this prompting to go back to school for counseling. And I mean, that's how I became a counselor. Mm-hmm. And so I asked my pastor, Dan, I was like, can you pray for me to make sure, because this certainly is not my thought. And so the prompting would not go away. So I go back to school, finish my clinicals. I start treating people both biblically and clinically, right? And as I treat people, I realize that even brothers and sisters in the faith, some who even grew up in the church, are experiencing low self-esteem, anxiety, depression, because they still hold on to misperceptions about God. Mm-hmm. They have these misperceptions that God is demanding, that God is distant. I've even had someone who quoted scripture and said, it says to be perfect like your Heavenly Father is perfect. And I'm mm-hmm. like, but that's the wrong context. He's talking right. about, you know, that he's not talking about be perfect in your behavior. Mm-hmm. He's talking about like having a forgiving heart, part of like even my assignment now as a counselor is correcting those misperceptions, which my whole life has been about.
Right. Right. One of the things that Kenza, I emphasize this a lot in sermons and to our church. So when Moses said, Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your glory, Exodus 33. Mm-hmm. And then the classic passage where God, it's almost like God gives his resume in Exodus 34, and he passes, you know, he says, you can't see my face and live. No man can see my face and live. I'll show you the edges, the back of my glory. And when he passes by, he covers Moses, you know, hides him in the cleft of the rock and covers him with his hand. But then he declares who he is. And I just think Exodus 34, 6 and 7, so critical that people understand that. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And I had a seminary professor that said, God is so skewed to the good and to the gracious and to the compassionate. Now, in Islam, you don't ever hear Allah is not anything like that. But our God, our God is like that. And we can get close to him. I love Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with their weaknesses, but one has been tempted in all things as we are. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You have a wonderful testimony and a wonderful position that the Lord has given you to help people connect with God. I want to commend you for writing this, because it is so special when you understand that I can come before the Lord. He doesn't shun me. And even when I've blown it as a believer, when I've sinned terribly, I can still come to him broken, contrite, repentant, and he receives me. And so in the couple of minutes we had before the break, can you think of a story where you saw that breakthrough in somebody and it just opened up a whole new world for that close relationship with God?
Yeah. I mean, I can one story after another, but I had someone who was, I mean, they were convinced that if they shared their hurt and pain with the Lord, that the Lord was going to just strike them dead. And so part of my homework to them as a counselor was, hey, share your your pain with God. Share what you feel like, you know, where you feel like God wasn't there for you. Because sometimes people are holding on to anger with God, and that's what's keeping them from having that healthy relationship with Him. And I was like, and I'll see you in 3 days to prove to you that you're not going to be struck dead. And yeah, they weren't struck dead. And so they moved on from from tiptoeing around the throne of grace, right, to actually going to the throne of grace.
Right.
Because sometimes we need that experience. We do. Especially if our childhood or previous experiences have proven otherwise.
Right.
Because a lot of times man can give us a misperception of God too.
For sure. For sure. Well, the book is called Secure, How to Have a Healthy Attachment to God. The author is Kenza Haddock. She came out of Islam to come to know Jesus Christ in a real and personal way. Just a beautiful lady and mom, wife and a mom, has two kids and living her life there in South Carolina. And all the way from Morocco, from roots of Morocco. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about the book and how you can enter into that relationship with God that's not distant, but is close, so that you could be called a man, a woman, after God's own heart. We'll be right back. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're having a fascinating conversation with Kenza Haddock, Counselor Kenza Haddock. She has a brand new book out called Secure, How to Have a Healthy Attachment to God. Much of this, as we've been saying, from her background, coming out of Islam, coming to Christ, and the pain that brought in her family. Because you can't leave Islam and still stay attached to your Muslim family. They won't allow that. And so she had to overcome so much in her, in the lies that she believed regarding who God really was. And so as she spent time in Scripture, she began to learn the truth and walk in the truth. So she wrote this book, Secure, How to Have a Healthy Attachment to God. This is such a great read. I encourage our listeners to check it out. Go get a copy of it. But Kenza, let me ask you this, just to give an easy definition of what it means. What does that mean to have an attachment, a healthy attachment to God?
So having a healthy attachment to God means that you see Him as someone who is safe to approach, someone that you can have a just day-to-day conversation with, but someone also that you can be transparent with. Because I think sometimes we can have a personal relationship with God, or we can just have a professional, I call it a professional relationship with God, where we just
follow what— Yeah, I like the way you did that.
What we think He wants to hear. We go like King James with God, when in reality, you know, like Jesus says to talk to— He cares about our heart. Like He wants our heart. And so, yeah, just having that transparent relationship. Because so I outline it in three layers. It starts with having that day-to-day relationship with Him, and then you go deeper into transparency, and that's when you reach the point of trust. And at that point, once you reach the inner layer in your heart of trusting God, at that point, you understand what it means, the difference between condemnation, which says, you know, shame on you, and conviction, which says, hey, you messed up. To your point, Pastor Jeff, we're going to mess up. Mm-hmm. But He'll also convict us out of His love for us and say, hey, this is how we correct it. And so once we reach the point of trust, then we are able to discern God's leading. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times people ask, how do I discern God's leading in my life? And I give them the example, you know, number one, you get pulled into a particular direction. Sometimes it can be, you know, within your gifting. And sometimes, like for me, I never thought I would become a counselor until the Lord broke my heart for people who were hurting and showed me how that's just what he made me for. And so he gave me that passion. And also, number two, he's the Prince of Peace. He'll give you peace about that situation. And I would say number three, pay attention to your circumstances. Sometimes the Lord will close some doors and open some doors just to shift us. Because sometimes we don't want to move until he moves us.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so what did you do when you left? When you left Virginia to go to South Carolina, 24 years old, you're on this spiritual journey. You know Islam is wrong at this point, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what are you doing for a job? Because you don't have support from your parents. They're not giving you any money. I mean, you had to leave your car in the parking lot. How are you making it? Did you have money saved up?
So I leave Virginia to South Carolina. I was in the timeshare industry. That's why I chose. It was between Myrtle Beach and Orlando, and Myrtle Beach was closer. And timeshare is huge in the Myrtle Beach area.
Sure.
And so the Lord just started, I don't know, I was doing great in the Virginia Beach area with timeshares. And as soon as he called me into the field of counseling, doors started closing when it came to my last job, which was in timeshares. I just wasn't doing as well. It's like my passion for it dimmed. And I do believe that was part of his plan. Yeah. My family tried really hard to get me to go back with them. And so I was left without any money, anything, because our bank accounts were all merged together. I mean, it was like so enmeshed the way I lived. And so that's how I ended up at a church. I was at church one time, and this lady said she just felt like I needed a place to stay. And invited me. She didn't know me from Adam. She invited me to stay with her and her daughter. And yeah, until I got on my feet. And by that time I had met my husband, and yeah, God has just blessed me. It's like he had shown me favor beyond my wild imagination. It has been difficult. You know, it's not a Disney, you know, movie.
No.
But it's still like his favor, despite and in spite of everything, it's blown me away. Like just the way he fathers us and provides for us.
You know, Kenza, you had referred to this verse from Matthew 10, where the Lord says, "Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." How did you process through? I mean, that is true. That's the word of the Lord. That's you, that's your life, right? I mean, that's what you had to live through. How did you process, and how do you process the loss of that? Because it was so monumental in your life, and now it's gone. I'm just thinking of the people that, you know, maybe it's not Islam, but maybe it's some other situation where they get disowned for whatever reason. How do you process through that hurt?
So we have to understand, for me personally, like I've had to understand that the Lord is the one essentially who fills our sense of belonging. You know, he fills our sense of both emotional and physical safety. And he is our source of worth, right? Yes, he gives us family. And even with my patients, I explain this. Yes, he gives us family and he gives us friends, but those people, as great as they may be, they were never supposed to be the source of it. They were supposed to be people that he puts in place for a certain period of time. And essentially, they're supposed to lead us closer to him. Once someone becomes the source of something for me, then that's when I'm veering toward idolatry. And that's where I was personally, just being real with you. That's where I was. I idolized my parents. I mean, they were the sun and moon for me. Like they were everything. I mean, and so the break needed to happen for me to understand who the Lord God was and is. And yes, grief had to take place. And I've had to have difficult conversations with my kids and explain that, hey, you know, if someone comes up to you and says they're your uncle and come with me, you can't go with them. You know, their school is on alert to not let anyone pick them up and stuff like that. And so we've had to take proper precautions. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, and I'm not trying to sound holier than thou or hyper-spiritual, I truly, truly mean this. I believe that God allows pain to happen to us in our lives to wean us off of this world, because at the end of the day, this is not our home. Mm. We're not supposed to be so comfortable here that we don't look forward to heaven. I look forward to the day he calls me to heaven. And so we're not supposed to be so like, oh, this is great. I'm supposed to just be comfortable here. No, right. We're supposed to look forward to finishing the race and going to heaven.
Amen. That's a good word. You know, one of the things, the fellowship of his sufferings, Philippians 3, as Paul said that, you know, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Christians want to know the power of his resurrection. We don't really want to know the fellowship of his sufferings, especially, you know, that's the knock of the prosperity gospel. They don't talk about suffering. One of my favorite Christians is Johnny Erickson Tada, in a wheelchair for over 55 years. Life is hard for her. And she says, I know a little bit about the fellowship of the sufferings because I suffer so much physically. Now, your sufferings are different. They're not physical sufferings as much as they're emotional sufferings, relational sufferings, but suffering is suffering.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And they are meant to wean us off of this world. The enemy wants us to believe that suffering means God is not with us or God has forgotten us or God has turned his back on us. And I go back to when Jesus said, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? The reason why Jesus experienced that separation from God is so that I can know beyond the shadow of a doubt, and you can know, and everyone listening can know, that regardless of how much suffering we're experiencing in this period of time, we know that he has not left us because he left Jesus at the cross.
Amen. Let me ask you this, Kenza. So in the Muslim world today, we hear a lot of stories about them having, a lot of people having dreams in Islam, and that the Lord uses that to trigger them to start seeking, and he leads Christians into their lives. Are you hearing more and more yourself personally about Muslims coming to faith in Christ? Do you think there is, maybe we could call it a mini revival there among Muslims?
I've heard of one recently in Iran, yes, through dreams. I believe it was through dreams. And I think the Lord uses dreams with Muslims specifically because Muslims put a lot of stock in their dreams. Mm-hmm. They do. Because they believe in some of the Old Testament prophets and and their dreams. And so,
Well, I had said earlier, but we had a guy come to our church, and he lived in Turkey, and he said, you know, Islam, they don't know anything about love. You know, in Hamas, their motto was, we love death as much as you love life. And, you know, you think, how sick and how twisted can you be? So was it when you came to Christ and you get married and you have children, I mean, those things we just kind of naturally think, well, you just have love for your child, and how could you disown your child and that kind of thing? I mean, even as a Christian, if your child wanders away from the faith, you're broken over that. You're praying for that child. You wouldn't want to hurt that child. How did you reprogram in that way?
So I understand what their thought process is, because I used to read the Quran. And so in their mind, they're looking at it like they're putting God above their child, which is what they're supposed to do.
Okay.
The issue and the difference is they serve a God who is hateful, whereas we serve a God who is loving, a God who is merciful. And so when Jesus says to put him above, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, is because he truly is our life-sustaining Lord. And so he's not going to lead us to harm our children. He is going to lead us to forgive our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. And so it's just two different lifestyles. I think for me personally, because I moved to the States when I was 12, I had become, in the words of my parents, more Americanized. And so I didn't pick up on a lot of their perspectives. I remember watching a movie on the Holocaust when I was a teenager, and I felt so bad for just the Jews who were in the gas chamber. And the problem is, as a Muslim, I wasn't supposed to feel bad for them because the Quran is like 70% anti-Jewish. I remember one time, you're not supposed to ask questions about the Quran as a Muslim. And I remember one time speaking up and saying, "Why is Allah so hateful toward Jews?" And oh, that didn't go over so well.
Great
Because I
question.
was like, oh gosh. So like, yeah, like, so I believe that God was pulling at my heartstrings when, even in my teenage years. And so, yeah,
Okay, so we
thankfully.
have, Kenza, we have about a minute left. Tell our listeners how they can connect with you if they have a question or a comment, and how they can get the book.
Yes, they're welcome to go on my website. It's www.kenza, KENZA, Haddock, HADDOCK.com. And they can get the book anywhere books are sold. It's available on Audible and paper print, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, anywhere.
Did you read it on Audible?
Did I listen? Oh, listen to,
No,
or I'm sorry.
did you do the voice for the Audible
No,
book?
no.
Oh, you didn't?
No, they
Oh,
don't. No.
you should have done that. It would have been
I
better.
know. I
Kenza,
know.
it's been a pleasure to get to meet you and to get to talk today. What a wonderful ministry you have. What a wonderful testimony you have. And so I just pray God blesses you and uses you in great ways.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Well, the book is called Secure: How to Have a Healthy Attachment to God. It's a short read, but it's a powerful read. I encourage you to check it out. Kenza Haddock is the author, and she has other books available. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and draw near to the Father. He loves you, and He has grace to help in your time of need. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.